specifically one after the service, but let me pray and then we will begin. Heavenly Father and loving God, what we know not, we humbly ask that by your grace you would teach us through Christ. Father, what we have not in our weakness and poverty, you would give us in Christ. Father, we pray that what we are not, you would make us by your Spirit. And that as we hear your life-giving word, that we would be changed and transformed to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask this, trusting and believing in his wonderful name. Amen. So troubled times indeed, I think we would say in the world, all over the world and through many. It's been really striking for us visiting from Kenya. We come on average every year, 2 years, sorry, a year and a half every 2 years. And in the parish we've just been where we began ministry, about two junctions back on the M6, just remarkable to see how people have changed. It's the same for us. Everyone, even when we turned up, Simon's like, "Ooh, the kids have grown." Okay, we feed them, they grow. I know. But like all over the parish, really, it was we turned up. It so happened a very close friend who used to help us babysitting had lost her husband. People are sick. There are people waiting for surgery. It's quite sobering in one sense how time, in one sense, waits for no one. And there's so much going on. These are, I would say, truly unsettling times in many ways. We've not talked even politics and immigration and the war in the Middle East and Ukraine. Like, life is unsettling in all kinds of ways. And one of the questions, at least as a minister, I get, and I'm sure you might, if you're a believer, get, in these times is, one question people ask is, why? Why the trouble? Okay, why, Lord, have you allowed this to happen? Well, in the last parish we just come from, a guy who was he's still a bit involved, very involved in ministry, unexpectedly, in a very few weeks, got very unwell, has become very unwell, and has been diagnosed with cancer. So, and one of the older men just asked me, "Pastor Kip, why? Why would God allow this guy who was serving so well to suffer this way? What is it? Have we done something wrong as a church? Have they done something wrong?" Well, Romans 11 gives us a fascinating answer, and I'd like you to turn there for a moment. Romans 11, please go to verse 36. Listen to how Paul, simple words in one sense, but very profound, and I would say for most of us, even if you've been a Christian for a while, very challenging. Paul saying that God oversees and is sovereign over everything. Romans 11. Verse 36, the last verse of that section, Paul writes, guided by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Spirit, Paul says, "For from him," and the him there is God, "from him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." Okay, notice those words again. From him, they come from God. Through him, allowed in one sense, enabled by him, and then ultimately to him are, notice the two words at the end, not some things, not most things, not the church-related things, but Paul says, all things. All things. In other words, whatever happens in the world, and you just watch the news, today morning, the news of the earthquake in Indonesia, and so on, all things, whatever happens in the world, whatever happens around us, here in this community or wherever you live, in your life, in our family's lives, everything happens, Paul is saying in verse 36, by God's design. From him and through him and to him are all things. There's nothing in this world that comes to pass apart from God permitting it. The things that we've seen this year are no accident. Okay, the way 2026 has turned out is no mistake. We just a small anecdote. We planned. We were very organized this year. Well, Rachel was organized, not me. We were very organized. So we've been a bit disorganized when we're traveling and we book our tickets late and it's a bit more expensive. But this year we planned very well and we paid our tickets just after Christmas. Got a good deal, and our flights, direct flights from Nairobi to here are expensive, so we got tickets via the Middle East. And literally, a couple of weeks later, Trump unleashed the war. And now we're like, are we going to be safe to fly? Okay, is it going to be? Is it going to be all right? But whatever has happened this year, whatever 2026 has turned out, no matter your planning, everything is under God's hand. 2026 is not a mistake to God. Your life is not random. Things haven't, you hear this from pagans, from those who don't know Christ, things haven't just happened. That's why sometimes people speak like things have just happened. Not to God. For from him and through him and to him are all things. And so I don't want to minimize, if I was to go around the parish we've just come from, I know the people quite well. Here I didn't know people as well. We know Simon and family, but if I was to go around, I'm sure that there's been people could talk about difficulties they've been through and great pain. Okay, and I don't want to minimize that pain or sadness or struggles or their tears. Okay, I don't want to say that's nothing. Whilst we must not hide that, we must never forget, given Romans 11, God is in the midst of it all. Right? Like the hymn puts it, I don't know that you know this hymn, it's an old hymn, Anglican hymn, got this famous hymn, usually used in mission settings. It says, God is working his purposes out. Okay? Now, of course, it doesn't always feel like it's good in the moment. Okay, God is working his purposes out, and all God's purposes are good. Just go with me to Romans 12, verse 2. Look at how it ends. As we, 12, verse 2 says, don't conform to the world any longer, but have your mind renewed in light of God. Verse 2 ends, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So whatever God purposes and does is good, but it might not feel good in the moment. It might not feel pleasant there and then, but if something has come from God, his good and perfect will, then we know it is good. In the end, at the end of it, it'll be good. Let me give you a very quick summary of Romans 1 to 11, if I could. So Romans, you could divide Romans in all kinds of ways. But one way you could divide it is to treat 1 to 11 as one block, chapters 1 to 11. And then from chapter 12, Paul begins to apply, and there are lots of commands, do X, serve with zeal, and so on and so forth. But 1 to 11 really is the gospel story, or God's salvation plan, right? The world had rejected him, both Jew and Gentile. God has sent a savior in Christ, the descendant of Abraham. And by turning and trusting in him, Paul says great words, chapter 5, verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation. Sorry, chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are all in Christ Jesus. It'll be well for those who trust in him. And yet, 9 to 11, very difficult bit in Romans, answers the question of Israel, right? The Jewish people. Because you might say, how can you say God is good when, what about the people of Israel, who were his people, he saved them, but then it seems he's abandoned them. Paul says in 9 to 11, that even that confusing episode is being used by God for good. Two ways. First of all, as a moment to bring in us, the Gentiles, into the house of God. And then once we've been in, to make the Jews say, look, I want a bit of God's great salvation story. I want to be included amongst the people of God. And through that, Paul says, all Israel, meaning many Jewish people will be saved, will come and trust in Jesus. And so even when it doesn't make sense, even when it seems puzzling, God is at work. And so look with me at verse 33. As he's concluding this section on Israel, chapter 9 to 11, he says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. In other words, God is infinitely wise. And his paths are not always what we would choose. If you were to write your life story, you might think, no, Lord, I think I could do this better. That's it. But Paul tells us, no, his ways, his paths are beyond tracing out. His wisdom is beyond our wisdom, in other words. So whatever we're going through, no matter what we're going through, it might seem perplexing. Life might present things that are difficult to comprehend. Like I said, with this man in the parish, I've just come from illness and yet a great servant. But as even when things don't make sense to us, you who believes in Christ, trust that God is doing a good thing. Working that which will be a blessing for us and a glory unto his son, Jesus Christ. And you know, if you wanted to see a good example of that in scripture, a solid example, the best place or the clearest place to see that is in the life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. When you consider how it must have looked as he was dying on the cross, beaten, mocked, surrounded by criminals, bleeding, he just looked weak and helpless. Okay, it must have looked hopeless. right? It must have looked to the human eye like a defeat. Okay, one of his closest circle, one of the 12, had betrayed him for money. The remaining other disciples, most of them had abandoned him, fled. There were the religious leaders provoking him. You know, if you're the Son of God, then come down from the cross. Then we'll believe you. Right? It doesn't look a picture of victory at all. And here's the thing. And yet, to remind ourselves of how God's ways are beyond searching out. God the Father was working a wonderful story even in that moment. From that defeat came the greatest triumph. And so we're called to put our hope in this God who, this is a phrase from Romans 4. Put our hope in a God who raises the dead, right? Who takes the darkest situations and turns them for the most wonderful good. And so, I don't know, as I've said, I know some of you, but not most of you. I don't know fully what your 2026 has been like. But as I've said, from the few I've spoken to, this has really been a year of many challenges and disappointments. As Simon began, it's maybe you're going through a hard time. I think many have gone through hard times. Plans not working at all. How we expected. Things taking turns we had not at all anticipated. I saw someone put somewhere on social media that they wrote the biggest investment mistake they've made this year was to buy a 2026 diary. Right? And you know the point. You buy a diary, you spend time planning, you'll do X, you'll go on that holiday, you'll go and visit so-and-so, you'll do the ABCD, I'll get a promotion at work. Whatever it is, you plan it out, and then things happen, and all our plans come to naught. Nothing. You get that diagnosis, or something happens. You go to the doctors, and it's like, what happened? Parents call you, and something has happened that really throws you off your plan. We before we went back to Nairobi, we tried more than once. So I was born and brought up in Kenya, met Rachel here in the UK, got married, served with the Anglican Church for five years first. And we tried to go back to Kenya in 2015, but basically God closed the door. And in the midst of all the planning, someone reminded me of this line that is sometimes used of mission, in the mission planning, that said, and I think you might have heard the line that says, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans and insist on them. Okay? Just try that and you'll see, right? When we went to Kenya, right now, at the church we serve in, also called Christ Church Loresha, which is our neighborhood, if you were to look at the people we have contact with Sunday through to Sunday, week by week, majority of the people we have contact with were not on our radar in terms of our planning. Okay? When we went around, when we came here to Greenbank, well, then St. John's Hartford, and one or two other churches around here to present the vision, you know, we were keen on reaching out to students and young professionals and families. The majority of people who come to Christ Church or we have contact with are children under 15 from the slum, from the poorest background. They were not on our radar. Okay? You plan and prepare, and God says, ha, let's see. Okay? And that's where we are. And so what should the believer do? We are called to rest in him, to trust in him, to call out to him in prayer. Okay? For from him and through him and to him are all things, be it health struggles or family troubles or money issues, whatever it is, never forget that God is at work in everything. And what he does, painful as it might be, is always in the end. It might not be then. It might not be that moment. But in the end, is always good. Famous. Simon was right in one sense. Sometimes the children's questions or the children's songs are the ones that capture it so powerfully. Okay, he's got the whole world in his hands. Okay, that's it. God has got it. He doesn't just have the big things. He's got the whole world and your life in his hands. Now, we're about done. I want to just see how Paul reasons from that in the next section. Because one big temptation when we... The word really, for us to use a big word, the word really is that God is sovereign. I think I mentioned that. One big temptation when we grasp that God is sovereign, that everything is under his control. One big temptation, wrong temptation, is to say, okay, if God is fully in charge, if everything happens because of him, then I don't need to do anything. Right? I just have to sit, watch, and wait. I think that is one of the lies, falseness of the religion of Islam. They have a phrase, inshallah, where they just say, well, whatever will happen, and it can breed laziness. Okay, trust in God and whatever will happen will happen. Here's the interesting thing. The Apostle Paul doesn't reason that way. God is sovereign, but look what he does in chapter 12, verse 1. Where does he go with it? Does he go and say, well, therefore not just do nothing? Right? He's told us about God's wisdom, verse 33. He's told us about his infinite knowledge, verse 34. He's told us about God controlling everything, verse 36. Look at how he continues. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, so he's connecting what's gone before to this point he's going to make. Therefore, I urge you to do what? To just sit and do nothing? No. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, and we could say brothers and sisters. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, meaning God's sovereignty is an expression of his mercy, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Incredible. So God is sovereign. What does that lead us to do? Therefore, give of yourselves completely. That's how Paul, not sit and do nothing. Okay, he connects it by saying he rules, he's in charge, everything is from him. Therefore, that actually liberates you to give and serve fully unto God. And this is very important, because if all of life did not come from God or was not under God, if there is no God and things just happen, as the unbelievers say, then life, I have to say this, sobering thought, sad thought really, then life would be meaningless. Life would be a matter of chance, of sheer luck. Some have it good and some have it bad. And if that were true, then do you know what? There'd be no reason to pray, no reason to really get up in the morning, no reason to be upset when things go wrong, because things just happen. That's how they are. But no, says the Bible, that's not how the world is ordered. Everything happens because of God. It's a display of his mercy. And because of that mercy, we're then told to offer ourselves up as living sacrifices. Right? Because God is in control, what the result should be, we do all we can, we become a living sacrifice, meaning you're living, but you continue laying down your life. We lay down our ego, privileges, our time, even our money for others, knowing that God will take that and use it for a very good end. It frees us. You know, you don't have to, I don't have to sit there and think, oh, we've only got little children coming to Christ Church, and look, they don't give very much, and they're from poor background. I just say, God is the one who has placed us here. I will give of myself as much as I can and leave the rest to him. Okay? All of God, remember what I said, the theme, all of God, he is truly sovereign. Okay, he rules over our lives, but that doesn't mean nothing to us. All of God, yes, but in response, we give all of ourselves. You're a living sacrifice, laying down of yourself. Just like Jesus Christ, who offered himself, the one who came not to be served, but to serve, and lay down his life as a sacrifice. Those who are saved, who know Christ, will serve. Okay, those who are saved, those who have been born again, are those who will give of themselves in service. So let us not fear. Let us serve God and his glorious gospel wholeheartedly. Okay, you find yourself in a situation where you have to sacrifice and lay down your life for your spouse, as will happen in marriage. For your children, as will happen in family. For your grandchildren, as will happen with family. For your neighbors, for church. Okay, when the challenge to sacrifice comes, and the thought in your head at that moment is, I can't believe I've got to do this again. I have to visit that person again. I have to listen to that issue again. Remember what Christ has done. Remember how God rules and uses even the most messy for good, and then give of yourself in service. Right? Knowing that God is in charge of everything helps us to stop fearing failure. The early church bishop, last quote and then I'll be done. The early church bishop, man called Saint Augustine of Hippo, said, great two lines really that kind of mirror each other in a sense, that pick up on this idea, all of God and all of us. He said, pray as if everything that you do depends on God. Okay, pray fervently, pray zealously, pray faithfully, pray as if everything depends on God. And of course, it does. Yeah? Your life is from him, your breath is from him. So we pray as if, look, I'm going to witness to someone, I'm about to share the gospel with a colleague at work, Lord, help me to say the right words. I'm about to go and visit someone in need, and so on and so forth. Pray as if it depends on God. Then he doesn't stop there. That's all of God in one sense. Then he turns it around and say, work, serve as if it depends on you. So we remember God is sovereign, but as Paul says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. So therefore, as I serve diligently. As I prepare something, I prepare with all of my heart in the desire and hope that God will use our little efforts under him for the glory of God. We've had a funny syndrome in Nairobi where Kenya, by many accounts, is a Christian country. It varies, sometimes 70%, 80%. People will say they're Christians. But I've noticed a syndrome I call let's go to church during the exam time syndrome. So people don't show up at church all year, end of the year, which is when our exams happen. Parents show up and say, will you pray for my son? They've got exams. And sometimes you ask how they've been doing in school. They've not been doing well. But somehow they want all of God, okay, without the work. Okay, let's go to church because the exams are coming up. That's not the way God wants us to serve. He is sovereign, but we're to give of ourselves in service to him. Can I urge you, as Christ Church here, it's been wonderful to be in partnership. You pray for us. But wherever God has placed you, work, family, you're retired, but you've got grandkids, whatever it is, can I urge you to ask God to help the Holy Spirit enable you to be those who grasp fully that God is in charge. He really does rule, and we see that in the cross of Christ and how he used such a dark moment for great good. And then ask him to give you that confidence that you might have peace in the world to serve him wherever the road leads you. Because in walking that path, a trust in God, a peace in him, then I think we can be used wonderfully to draw men and women to Jesus Christ in a world that is longing and desiring for peace in the world. Okay, may God help us to have that confidence in his purpose, that certainty in the gospel for the good of the world, that we might serve with confidence and peace, draw many as we follow Christ indeed and take up our cross daily, that God will take our weak, small, little efforts, but by the Spirit glorify his name and use us to be a blessing to the world. Let me pray as we finish. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him indeed, to him our God and Father, be glory forever. Amen. Father in heaven, what a joy, what a comfort. For if God does not rule the world, if you do not rule, what hope have we? Where can we turn to? Who can we go to? Who is it that will hold us fast apart from you? So help us to have such a sure confidence in God's sovereignty in the world, even in those very difficult moments, not to despair, but to cling to you with all of our heart and to call out to you from the depths of our being. And in walking such a path, in a world that is full of so much turmoil, we might be beacons of peace, not because of our own strength, but because we know him who is wise, whose paths are always good, who will work something wonderful in the end for those who trust in Christ. Use us in our weakness to draw men and women, children and old, to Jesus Christ. May we be those who serve in that confidence, laying down our lives as living sacrifices and being used therefore, even in our weakness, to draw many to the good news, the sure hope, the wonderful God who works all things for good. Use us to that end as we look to Christ and live for him. We pray in his name. Amen.